with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Stanley Cup Final resumes tomorrow in Edmonton. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN, is there. But the beauty of the last couple of days in the NHL is there's been a lot more to talk about than just the Stanley Cup Final. So I'll ask, I'll present a creative way to ask a topic that I know we were going to get into. Is the Devils' 10th overall pick still in play?
I mean, I don't have a hard answer for that. And I guess I want to say yes, because I do know that Tom Fitzgerald has some other pieces that he's hoping to acquire. You know, he'd like to bolster his blue line. He wants an experienced veteran defenseman, same thing, more hard-nosed, stable, all of those things. So, you know, when you look at the unrestricted free agent market, what are you looking at? Zadorov, if he doesn't sign in Vancouver, you're looking at Brendan Dillon, maybe. But beyond that, maybe there are some other trade options that Fitzgerald could consider. And, you know, he wants to add a little bit of size up front as well. He's got really good forwards, more on the diminutive side, I would say. So I would think that he's willing to listen on that 10th pick overall, but I don't know that with 100% certainty.
Okay, well, what, and I'm trying to carefully pick words, because kind of like what Duffer just did, because I don't know where to go. Like, what kind of low offer would the New Jersey Devils have been like, oh my God, Calgary accepted that? Like, I just cannot understand that offer being the winning offer for Jacob Markstrom at the end of the day.
Well, look, I mean, it's a first round draft pick and it's Kevin Ball.
Lottery protected.
It's lottery protected. I know, but I can tell you that it's way better than the first offer the New Jersey Devils made. I mean, they offered a conditional draft pick. So it got better over time, and more recently it got serious. You know, and Kevin Ball, they look at a 23-year-old defenseman. He's a mountain of a human being.
Yeah.
Not really sure what he's going to develop into at the NHL level, but they think he's going to be okay, and they'll do more on their blue line. It was always about the first-round draft pick. So I think when the call went to Tom Fitzgerald to say, if you don't throw in this first-round pick and make the offer we need, we're going to go somewhere else. And that's where it gets a little bit spicy, because leading up to the trade deadline, there was nowhere else. It was New Jersey. That was the team that Markstrom wanted to go to. He waved to go to, thought they had a deal to send him there, and then it all blew apart. And then Pat Morris, who represents Jacob Markstrom, went back to Calgary after the trade deadline to say, hey, we're willing to expand the list here a little bit. So go out and have your conversations with teams that you think are interested in Markstrom, and then come back to us. At the end of the day, Markstrom had veto power, right, with the no-move clause. I think it came down to two teams. Obviously, the New Jersey Devils, and I think that Markstrom was intrigued by the possibility of going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So when Fitzy learned all of that, I think he said, all right, well, one thing I can't do is have an empty seat in the dressing room when it comes to a top-rate goalie. And he was down the road a little bit with Don Sweeney and the Boston Bruins on Linus Ullmark, but probably wasn't sure that he was going to be able to get that done. Maybe Ullmark was having, you know, second thoughts, all of those things. I don't know. But when he learned that there was a possibility that Markstrom was going to go somewhere else, I think that's when New Jersey stepped up and said, okay, let's get this done.
Where will Ullmark end up?
Well, a lot of people still looking at LA, even though they just acquired Darcy Kemper in that surprising deal yesterday with PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois, going to the Washington Capitals. You know, I mean, when you look at the goaltending in LA, what do you see? Darcy Kemper and Riddick? Is that what you're going into next year with? I mean, some might be okay with that. Now Rob Lake and the LA Kings have some cap space by moving, you know, Dubois' contract out. So I guess he could do some shopping. I still feel like he wants to, you know, build up in the crease. So, you know, the Ullmark speculation continues to swirl around there. But if it's not LA, where is it? You know, there's a sense that he doesn't want to come into Canada, and that means Toronto, and that means Ottawa. So you know, what are you left with after that? You know, there's rumblings around Colorado, not specific to Linus Allmark, but, you know, they potentially want to get in the goaltending fix. You know, what about the Edmonton Oilers? I mean, if Edmonton claws back and evens this series and wins three in a row tomorrow night here in Edmonton, and Stu Skinner continues to play the way he has in games four and five, I don't see the goaltending problem in Edmonton. So maybe we can park that speculation. But Allmark is still a tricky one. He really is at this stage.
Do you think the Bruins are in the driver's seat when it comes to Allmark, or is this 16-team no-trade list kind of slowing things down and will, like, ultimately do what it did for Calgary, is that limit the return that you can get for a guy like Allmark?
Yeah, it hampers it to some degree, but you still have half the league to work with here, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I've learned, and I think general managers are way more aggressive in doing this over the years, is that, yeah, you can have the no trade or the no move clause. That doesn't prevent me as a general manager from talking to the GMs on your list of no moves, right? And if, especially if the rest of the market isn't interested or you're not getting anything back that's going to give you the value you need, then you go back to the player or his representative and say, here's the scenario here. I know this team is on your no trade list, but this is a team that's on the uptick. You know, you sell it to the player and you see if he's willing to yeah. wiggle at that point. But Allmark seems pretty dug in. I mean, that's the way he was, you know, leading up to the trade deadline. And it doesn't feel at this point like he's loosening up a whole bunch. So Don Sweeney has his work cut out for him.
What do you feel is likely to happen, or are you hearing about the Sabres as it pertains potentially to Jeff Skinner, as we talked about at the top of the show, because yeah. the general manager addressed the buyout topic today to the local media, and anything else Sabres related as we get just over a week out from the draft?
Yeah, now I didn't hear Kevin speak, Duffer, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think, you know, the messaging that I was getting out of Buffalo prior to the media avail was that just about anything is on the table. And they haven't made any official decisions, and that includes the buyout of Jeff Skinner. So that tells you that, yeah, they're having that conversation. You know, some are a little bit confused by it, but that's fine. I mean, that's all part of, you know, going through your hockey operations and making decisions. Some of that has to do with opportunity for younger players. So what I know is that Adams has a lot of things going. Is he open to the idea of something bigger via trade? Sure he is. Sure he is. And that's why, you know, you see some of the speculation on the 11th pick overall, some of the prospects that Adams might be willing to consider moving out. Well, again, that's all part of improving, maybe encouraging a bigger deal. I know that Kevin wants to improve the bottom six of his lineup. That's primarily where his focus as general manager is, but that doesn't mean that the door is closed or he's not listening to something bigger. And when we get through this Stanley Cup final, it was interesting that four teams took advantage of an off day of the Stanley Cup final yesterday in two pretty significant trades, I would say. So it's not impossible that we could see some work over the course of the weekend. But certainly as we get into Vegas next week, Buffalo, go down the list of teams that are interested in talking and getting some stuff done. They'll be active, no doubt.
Anything going on with Trevor Zegras and, you know, the speculation on a very talented young player and the Anaheim Ducks? They put a tweet and an Instagram post out the other day. I thought, oh, there's going to be breaking news, you know, something about a jersey and maybe they're changing their logo. So
I like that jersey with the orange. It's nice.
I do. I don't like the D with the, it looks like the feet of ducks or whatever. So I didn't love that logo. I like the cross, like the Almighty Ducks, but anything okay with Zegras right now?
Not really. And I think where all the speculation kind of percolates from is, I believe it was Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic wrote the piece not that long ago, and Pat Verbeek, the general manager of the Ducks, was quoted as basically saying he too is open to almost everything. And everything includes Trevor Zegras. And that's a message that I'm getting from other clubs around the league. But I had an exchange with Pat Brisson, who's, you know, he's juggling. He's got lots of stuff going on right now, including being part of the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade to the Washington Capitals yesterday. But he said, you know, he's certainly not involved in any of the trade conversations happening around the NHL with Zegras. And I think he would know if you know, teams were progressing or really trying to get something going with Verbeek and the Anaheim Ducks. So I think he's a player in play. We know that Verbeek is willing to consider moving him, but I don't think that he's a front burner option right now for the Anaheim Ducks. But guys, as we've learned over the past number of years, that can change with a conversation or it can change with a call. And a lot of what I think led into yesterday's transactions was the fact that all the managers, most of them anyway, convened in Buffalo for the combine. And when you have those face-to-face conversations, and as one GM described with all the agents there, it was like a job fair. Like, yeah. I mean, people are talking about trades. They're talking about free agency. I mean, it's interesting to me how the NHL has never caught anyone tampering or at least has enforced it with some sort of penalty. But that's where we're at today is the grumbling from other general managers. Hey, there's so much tampering going on. We don't know what to do anymore, that kind of thing. So anything is possible at this stage.
Any fallout for the Canucks, do you think, just cap-wise, after the Hronek deal and how challenging it might be for them to do the rest of the business here? I mean, it's not like they didn't know it was coming, obviously.
No, fair. But it's going to come at the expense of other pieces, right? You know, does Zadorov really want what has been speculated, you know, upwards of $6 million per year and roughly a six-year term? I mean, we saw Dan Milstein essentially, didn't he tweet fake news when somebody alluded to that? And he followed up when I asked and said, look, you know, we're basically in preliminary conversations. So you're looking at Zadorov, you're looking at Myers, and then obviously you're looking at Elias Lindholm. And I don't think, even though the Vancouver Canucks certainly have an appreciation for what Lindholm can provide at center ice, that they would view him as much needed as an open market scenario might. You know, and really then what you're boiling it down to is dollars. You know, he walked away from a boatload in Calgary, a ton, and he's not getting that back as an unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. But that was his call, and he did well in Vancouver. A lot of people want to connect Lindholm to the Boston Bruins. I'm not sure he's a perfect fit. Offensively, maybe there are better options out there, but all around and what the Boston Bruins need, Lindholm ticks a lot of boxes. So maybe Vancouver just kind of digs that line in the sand and says, here's our best and final offer. That's not good enough. And he goes to open market. And that could apply to the two defensemen who are still in the mix as well.
Dregs, we know you are in Edmonton, Alberta for game 6 tomorrow. And when you're on the road sometimes, I like to ask you, what are you going to do with your free time? I see that there's a Snoop Dogg and Friends concert at Rogers Place tonight. Are you one of Snoop Dogg's friends? And will you be in attendance before, you know, the big game 6 tomorrow?
No, I will not be in attendance, with all due respect to Snoop. You know, Shania was here. What was that, prior to game 4, I think it was?
Yeah.
And I walked past the concert. I had an all-access pass, and I didn't even take, you know, 30
Come
seconds
on.
To walk
Come
in.
Come on.
Well, hold on now.
Outsider.
Not to be a name dropper here. Not to be. In 1998, I was part of an introduction group that introduced Shania Twain at a concert here in Edmonton in 98. Yeah. And I have a picture to prove it. I can send it to you. I sent it to our internal group and created a buzz. So it's hard to top Shania in her prime. So, no, sorry, Snoop.
Shania will never be out of her prime. Let's just put it that way.
I might be spending a bit of time with the boys from Nickelback tomorrow.
Oh, you're with Noodles, so that's why Jimmy McLennan, he's going to get you the Nickelback full experience, which is always pretty good.
Exactly. That's the plan.
Dregs, we got to fly. Enjoy game 6 tomorrow. We'll see you next week. There he is, Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. We'll wrap Sabres live after this.